The inspired writer said, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, even thou hast formed the earth and the world. Even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. He is the blessed and only potentate. God is the King of kings, and he is the Lord of lords. And I tell you, glory to his name. Glory to his name. Because his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. I tell you this morning, he is, I said he is the Prince of Peace. And there will not be any peace until Christ is set at the conference table. Amen. You can't have peace without the Prince of Peace. Amen. And if you have your personal copy this morning of the world's bestseller, I want to call your attention to the book of Acts. The book of Acts. The chapter is 2, and there is one particular verse that I would invite your attention to. It is verse number 41. Acts chapter 2. And verse number 41. And it reads, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Can I read it again? Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Using that text, I want to speak from the subject 3,000 bought in. 3,000 bought in. Now, it's always good to define your terms. And the word buy means to get by paying money. It means to get by purchase. It means to get by exchange. And sometimes buy can be used in a figurative sense. It refers to when you buy something, you accept it as being true. Right. You hear folks saying, I ain't buying it. They don't mean literally. They're just not accepting that as being true. And of course, the word buy is used frequently in our linguistic exchange. We talk about somebody being bought off or buy off. You're talking about somebody who took a bribe. Hello? If you say buy up, you mean that they have bought up everything that was available. If you say buy back, you're talking about a corporation buying its own shares to reduce the amount of outstanding shares. If you say buy out, you're talking about an outright purchase of a business by management or the employees. And when you say buy in or buy into, you're talking about where you are paying money to participate. But in this reference today, as I'm using it in this lesson today, I'm talking about buying in from the standpoint of accepting it as being true and also making a personal decision and commitment to be involved with everything and all that the organization stands for. And what I'm saying this morning is that on this great day called Pentecost, 3,000 people bought in. What did they buy into? They bought into the gospel. They bought into Christianity. They bought into the church of Christ. And I'm hoping this morning, if you haven't bought in, you will buy in. Amen. Because it's very important that you buy in. Amen. It's worthwhile to buy into the kingdom of God. Now, in this lesson this morning, there are two ideas that I want you to see. And that is, number one, buying and selling are a great part of human life. And then I want to talk about some specific things that the 3,000 bought into. But first of all, let's think about buying and selling are a great part of human life. Buying and selling takes place in the great marketplace of life. People are buying and selling every day. The great economic engines in life are at work, and people are making transactions. They are buying and they are selling in the material realm. Every day there's buyers and there are sellers. The wisest man of antiquity, called Solomon, he said one day, he talked about buying. He said in Proverbs 23:23, he said, buy the truth and sell it not. And he also said, while you're buying, you ought to buy wisdom, instruction, and understanding. So Solomon, the wisest man of antiquity, of an ancient age, said that there are some things you ought to buy, but you ought not sell. And he said those things are, amen, truth, wisdom, instruction, and understanding. But there's one who's greater than Solomon. His name is Jesus. Amen. Amen. Solomon was great, but there's one who's greater. His name is Christ. And he even talked about buying and selling. And in his parabolic genius, Jesus talked about in Matthew 13 about a man who one day found a treasure hid in a field. And that man was so joyous, church, that he went and sold all that he had. And he bought that. But first of all, he hid the treasure. Let me just say that. Let me back up. He hid the treasure, Brother Eddie. And then he went and sold everything he had in order to buy that field. Now, of course, that tells me that that man understood that that field and its contents were more valuable than anything he owned. And then, to make it even clearer, he told another parable. He talked about a merchant man. Now, a merchant man is a buyer and a seller who sells wholesale or sometime internationally. And he talked about a merchant man. And he talked about the fact that this merchant man was looking for a goodly pearl or a precious pearl of great price. And when he found that pearl, church, he also went and sold all that he had in order to buy that pearl. Now that tells me that the kingdom of God is something you ought to buy into. That the kingdom of God is more valuable than all the things you own or possess in this world. And you ought to be willing to make that transaction, that you're ready to buy into. Amen. In order to have the kingdom of God. But unfortunately this morning, the kingdom of God is, to a lot of people, it's like treasure hid in a field and they never discover the treasure. It's there, but they just can't see it. And they can't see it because the devil is working every day. The devil does not take a day off. Is that all right? He's working 24/7 to get people to buy the wrong thing and to get people to sell the wrong thing. But I'm so glad that not only is the devil working 24/7, the Holy Spirit is working 24/7. And the Holy Spirit is trying to get people to buy the best thing and the good things in order to have the best things in their life. Now, one of the most important things you could do in life is make a decision. Nothing bigger than making a decision. And if you decide, I'm not going to make a decision, you've made a decision not to make one. Amen. Is that all right? Decisions make and break and shape, empower, and even destroy people. So decisions are huge. Can't you look back on your life and say something, well, I sure wish I hadn't done that. You ever say that to yourself? Well, you made the wrong decision. Is that right? And it's imperative in life to learn how to make good decisions. And one of the biggest decisions you could ever make is whether you are going to buy in to the kingdom of God. Now, of course, on the day of Pentecost, there were 3,000 personal transactions of salvation taking place. Amen. Now, whenever you make a transaction in life, there can be joy. And there can be sadness. There can be fulfillment, and there can be bitter disappointment. But I'm glad to tell you, on the day of Pentecost, when this offer was made, there was not predatory lending. There was not market manipulation. There was not insider trading. But what was offered on the day of Pentecost was an astonishing offer of forgiveness and eternal life. Can you buy into that? Amen. Praise God. I'm telling you, if you haven't bought in, what you waiting on? You ought to buy in. Is that all right? Because this is an amazing, and 3,000 people bought in. Amen. Now don't let them buy you off and take a bribe. Hello. Don't let them buy up all the stock. Well, one thing about the stocks in the kingdom of God, it's enough for everybody. You don't have to worry about, well child, I think I waited too late. You can always buy a place. That is, you accept it being true and you make the commitment that I am going to do what is necessary to have what I need. Now, let me talk to you about some specific things they bought into. But let me tell you a little bit about the day of Pentecost. You have your Bibles? Amen. If you would go back to Acts chapter 2 and look at verse number 1. It says, and when the day of Pentecost, now Pentecost was a part of the three great feasts of the Jewish people. Amen. You had the feast of the Passover. You had the feast of Tabernacles, which dwelt with when the people dwelled in tents. And then you have the Feast of Pentecost. And the Feast of Pentecost was a feast where the people were giving thanks to God for the harvest. I want to tell you something. Whenever the Lord allows the rain to come to kiss the barren hillside and the fruits and the vegetables grow, that is a blessing. Is that all right? So in Pentecost, they were giving thanks to God for the harvest. And Pentecost, according to Dr. James Burton Kaufman, it would always take place 50 days after a regular Sabbath and the beginning of the Passover feast. It would take place 50 days after the beginning, after the normal Sabbath day, and the beginning of the Passover feast. Now, at this time in Jerusalem, you had Jews from all over the world. About 1 million Jews were there. And they had come to celebrate the great feast of Pentecost. And it's even sort of strange that even though there were millions there, Sister Tina, only 3,000 bought in. Amen. So the Bible says in verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were with all accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Now, it was not a wind. It was the sound of a wind. Did y'all get that? It was the sound of. And I'm going to tell you something. When that wind really gets to blowing, it can scare you to death. It gets to showing up blowing, you get uneasy. Even though you can't see it, you know it's powerful. You can't see the Holy Spirit, but you know he's powerful. Is that all right? And it said, it came at the sound of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And look at verse 3. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and sat upon each of them. That is, it sat upon the 12 apostles. Watch this. Verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues, that is, other languages. Not all this gibberish and nonsensical syllabic stuff you hear in the day. But I'm talking about they begin to speak, Brother West, in other languages. They hadn't even studied. And the people were astounded that these untrained, uneducated, unlearned men could speak so fluently, so eloquently in languages they had never studied. Now, let me say this. When this took place on Pentecost Day, God was speaking through these 12 apostles. Now, these men become, because of this, they are being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And they become infallible speakers and preachers. That's what they are. When you talk about salvation, you got to hear God's voice. The Bible says in Hebrews 2 and verse 3, talking about this great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord. In Acts chapter 2, God is still speaking because God, the Holy Spirit, is speaking through these apostles. Look at the verse again. Verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues, other languages, as the Spirit gave them utterance. That is, now, if you want to know the truth about salvation, you've got to agree with Jesus Christ and these apostles. Amen. Any message of salvation that contradicts what they said is false. Doesn't matter who's saying it. If you want to know, do you want to know how to know the difference between religious truth and religious error? You want to know that? Y'all can answer that. You want to know that? Turn your Bibles to 1 John 4 and look at verse 6. I want you to hold Acts 2. We're coming back there, but I want you to see 1 John 4 and verse 6. I'm gonna look at verse 1, then I'm gonna drop down to verse number 6. Watch this. You have that? Say amen if you have it. He says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit. But do what? Try or test the spirits." Why? Whether they be of God. Is that right? Is that what he said? He said, here's the reason why. Because what? Many prophets or preachers. That's right, Brother Wyatt. Many false preachers. Where are they? Where are they? I can't hear y'all. Where are they? In the world. Y'all scared to say that? Don't be scared. The cat ain't got your tongue. You can say that. Is that all right? Well, how are you going to determine who the true preachers from the false preachers? Everybody's saying, God spoke to me. I could tell y'all the night God spoke to me. But he didn't do it. I wouldn't be telling the truth. Amen. Now drop down to verse 6. The we that refers to the apostles. We are of God. He that knoweth God does what? Because on Pentecost Day, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they began to preach and teach as the Spirit gave them utterance. Do you see that? Amen. So God is speaking through them. God came from heaven to preach the message of salvation. God went back to heaven, sent the Holy Spirit, and he continues to speak the message of salvation. And everybody who gets saved gets the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you're a child of God, you have the Holy Spirit. Amen. And you ought to be producing the fruits of the Spirit. Is that all right? And so he said in verse 6, he that is not of God heareth not us. And he said, hereby know we the spirit of truth and what? So you want to know how to know what's right in religion? You must compare everything that's taught about salvation and the church and eternal life. You must compare it to what these infallible speakers and teachers taught. And if it does not agree with them, it is not true. Amen. Did you hear me? Doesn't matter how popular or how pretty the preacher is. If it does not agree with what they taught, it is not so. Now, there's a man in Rome. Well, he was. He resigned. The Pope. Now, where in the Bible do you see the Bible telling anybody, some cardinal, to get together to vote for a pope? Come on, please, help us out. And do you not know that man that's called the Holy Father, the Pontiff, the Pope? He claims he is infallible. Yes, sir. You know what infallible means? Tina, infallible means he can't mislead you. He can't mislead you. Some of the best doctors can be wrong. Amen. Some of the best lawyers can be wrong. Some of the best teachers can be wrong. Some of the best preachers can be wrong. But this book called the Bible, it's never wrong. Christ the solid rock I stand. Oh, the ground is nothing but sinking sand. Is that all right? And so these men become the infallible speakers and teachers. If you want to go to heaven, you better hear them. Amen. Are you listening to me? Yes, you better hear them. If you want to go to heaven, you better hear what they had to say. Now let me tell you about some things. You may want to make a note of these things. I want to give you several things the church bought into. Now 3,000 bought in. Number one, they bought into the preaching of the gospel. They bought into the preaching of the gospel. This is why God says, preach the word, Sister Yvonne. Don't preach philosophical speculation. Preach the word. Don't preach deathbed tales. Preach the word. Don't preach current events. Preach the word. Is that all right? We believe in the power of the preached word. We believe in the healing potency in the word. We believe if you receive the word, if you digest the word, if you internalize the word, if you meditate on the word, you will get better. Amen. Is that all right? Amen. We believe in the power of the word. There's artistry in the word. There's poetry in the word. There's power in the word. Preach the word. Is that all right? These people bought into the preaching of the word. And that's what we need today. Need somebody to stand up and preach the word. Is that all right? Because that's what people need to hear. Young folks need to hear the word. You might be hearing Jay-Z and Lil Wayne. I wish I had some help here. But you need to be hearing the word. Is that all right? Because the word is in a class all by itself. The word will help you in this life, and the word will help you in the life to come. Preach the word. They bought into, and on that day they preached, there was unprecedented and unequal soaring eloquence as these gospel preachers stood up and they preached the word. A second thing they bought into that Jesus Christ is now both Lord and Christ. That same one they crucified. Lord, they spit on him. Lord, they beat him. They stripped him. They treated him like he was a nobody, and they nailed him to the tree. I tell you, it looked bad for Jesus. But God raised him up from the dead. And he said, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God have made that same Jesus that you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. I want to ask you, is he your Lord? He ought to be. Is he your Savior? If he ain't, you ought to check yourself or you wreck yourself. Right. Is that all right? Because without Christ, you'll be tore up from the floor up. Is that all right? You need Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. He was a man who was anointed and approved of God. He was appointed by miracles, signs, and wonders that he did in the midst of the people. And because of this, God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. The name of Jesus. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue, and I'm going to tell you, you may not bow right now, Mr. and Mrs. Big Stuff, but there's coming a day you will bow. Is that all right? Saddam Hussein's got to bow. Obama got to bow. Is that all right? Putin got to bow. Y'all know who Putin is? He the man in charge of Russia. But he's got to bow. Netanyahu, y'all know who he is? He got to bow to Jesus Christ. Because God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess, I have decided to bow. He's Lord of my life. I'm under his leadership. I'm under his authority. I bought in. Is that all right? And then after that, a third thing they bought into was they bought into that they were in terrible shape. They were messed up. And let me tell you something. You may not realize it today, but if you are living in sin, you're in terrible shape. You are just one heartbeat away from hell. You see, you don't hear folks preaching like that now. Hell done dropped out the window. We got to get some heat back in preaching. We got to bring hell back. Hell need to make a comeback. Is that all right? Jesus came and died to save me from a burning hell. You ain't gonna hear Joe Osteen talk about that. Did you hear what I said? He gonna talk about get ready, get ready, get ready. Cause your blessing, your blessing, your blessing. It's coming, it's coming, it's coming. Tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. Is that all right? But we got to put hell. And they said in verse Acts 2:37, men and brethren, said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Acts 2:37, men and brethren, what shall we do? If you're in a bad situation, what you gonna do? What you gonna do if you die without Christ? What you gonna do? You ever thought about that? Just cause you don't think about it don't mean it couldn't happen to you. Some people die, the last thing they expected was to die. Huh? You can die early. Well, Brother Moss, you trying to scare. That's right. Scare the devil out you. Is that all right? Well, you can get right with the Lord. And they cried out. Let me show you. You know, sometimes people can't understand. They don't have a consciousness of what a terrible situation they're in. Let me give you five realities that if you're not saved today, I want to give you five bleak realities. Now, these five bleak realities are found in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 12. Let me give them to you. Number one, if you're not saved right now, you are without Christ. You don't have Christ in your life. How many got Christ in their life this morning? You got to have Christ in your life. Huh? Brother Earl, I've come to realize, man, I can't make it without Jesus. Folks got too much authority over my life. Hello? I need a friend gonna stick closer than a brother. Oh, I wish I had some help here. Is that right? Number two, you are alien from the commonwealth of Israel. Commonwealth means the richness, the wealth of a country. And Brother Sperling, because I am an American citizen, I can share in the wealth of this country. If I can get the right formula, I could become a millionaire in this country if I do it legally. Huh? Now, I ain't selling no dope and rob a bank to get rich. We ain't talking about that. Amen. We're talking about doing something, rendering a service so valuable that people thank you by paying funds. Number three, they were strangers from the covenants of promise. God saves through covenant. The Church of Christ is the new covenant or the New Testament church. That's why you ought to be in it. Is that all right? But if you are lost, you are a stranger from the covenant of promise. God made a promise to Abraham that in your seed, all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. He made a promise to David. He said, I'm going to put a seed on your throne that it will stand forever. And Christ is the son of Abraham. He is the son of David. Is that all right? The fourth thing is, you don't have Christ, you are without hope. You have no hope. Can you imagine living without hope? No hope. No hope. No hope. You know how it is. The doctor comes in. There's a loved one sick. And they tell you we've done all we can do. They're telling you. It ain't no hope. But I'm telling you, if you don't have Christ, you have no hope. That's bleak. No wonder they cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? At number five, you're without God in the world. It's scary to live in this world. I ain't got God. Without you, Lord, I can't make it. Is that all right? Five bleak realities. That if you don't have Christ, that is your situation. And really, if you really had a consciousness and understood your real situation, you would be crying out this morning, what must I do? Only reason you're not crying out, the devil has done a number on you. You can't see your real situation. Huh? Sometime when you messed up, everybody can see it but you. You look in the mirror, think you're looking good, and you tore up on the floor. Is that all right? Because you don't have a level of understanding and consciousness to see your real situation. I'm telling you, these folks bought in that we were in terrible condition And the next thing they bought into, well, they bought into the gospel plan of salvation. And Peter said to them, he said, repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. If you haven't done that, you need to do it. Amen. Is that right? And that's still what people must do to be saved today. You can't pray people into the church. I know they're saying, if you're lost, just put your hand on the radio. Or just say what you are, kneel and pray this prayer with me. I'm telling you that the infallible speakers and preachers didn't tell people that. They told them you must repent and be baptized for the remission of your sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Another thing they bought into was, they bought into the reality they needed to save themselves. In Acts 2:40, the Bible says, and Peter, with many other words, did exhort and testify. This is what he said. He said, save yourselves from this crooked world. I want to tell you something. This world is messed up. This world is headed off a moral cliff. And you got a responsibility to save yourself. Who gonna save you if you don't do it? If you don't save your, if you don't have enough interest to save your own soul, who gonna save it? Amen. You gotta save yourself. Self is the meeting place of challenge. Self is where I face decision making. Self is where I confront challenges. Self is where I meet problems. If I don't save me, who gonna do it? And so they bought into, have you bought into saving your soul? How important is saving your soul to you? That important to you? That ought to be high on your list. In fact, it ought to be at the, yeah, you know where I was going with that. At the top of your list. Is that right? Well, here's modern psychology. Maybe you want to make scribble these down. Modern psychology has three affirmations about self. Number one, it says accept yourself. It doesn't matter how messed up you are, accept yourself. That's this debate now about transgender people. Yeah. And they call it gender identification crises. Mm-hmm. Isn't that a big word? Yes. But let me tell you something. You better trust God. I know folks saying, well, I was born in a male body, but I'm a girl. Y'all all right? I'm telling you, you better trust God. You see, I don't care how these guys, these scientists and these scholars, I don't trust them over the Bible. I trust God. Is that all right? And then modern psychologists say, know thyself. And then modern psychologists say, acknowledge thyself. But the Bible has three affirmations too, Jackie. Let me give those to you. It says, deny thyself. Luke 9:23. It says, examine yourself. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Amen. And then it says, save yourself. Acts 2:41. Amen. And then it says, watch this. And they that gladly received the word. Are y'all glad to hear the word this morning? Amen. They that gladly received the word were baptized. Amen. And that was added unto them on that glorious day. 3,000 people bought in. And here's a final thought. They bought into undenominational Christianity. Can I get heavy? Can I get heavy? Amen. You know, some people said that when they asked about Jesus, well, who is he? Some say he's Elijah. Some say he's Jeremiah. He's one of the prophets of old. Some say he's the greatest human being to ever exist. Some say he's the greatest human being to ever live. Some say he's a moral genius. But what does the Bible say? It says he's the Son of the living God. Yeah. Is that right? Yeah. And so they bought into undenominational Christianity. How do I know? Because at the time the church was built, there were no denominations. So they had to buy into undenominational Christianity. You see, they couldn't buy into this concept of go to the church of your choice. And you know why? Do you know why? Let me ask again. I think they heard me. Do you know why? Do you know why? Do you know why? Because the only choice they had was the church that Jesus built. Amen. And let me tell you something, in case you didn't know, that's the only choice you have. Amen. If you want to be saved. Is that all right? Only choice they had, the only choice we have. Is that all right? And that's why I say, as I conclude, 3,000 bought in. Aren't you glad this morning you bought in? And if you haven't bought in, you ought to buy in. Yes. And if you do, you'd be glad you did. Mm-hmm. Somebody ought to buy in to what the 3,000 bought in on the day of Pentecost. And if you do, you'll be so glad that you did. All right. Is that all right? All right? Well, I hear Solomon talking, Brother Wes. He said, buy in. He said, buy the truth and sell it not. And while you're on the aisle looking for truth, you ought to buy a little wisdom. You ought to buy some instruction. And you ought to buy some understanding. Is that all right? And you'll be so glad that you did. Is that all right? And while you're buying, you ought to buy truth. Is that all right? Because you shall know the truth. And the truth, glory to God, shall set you free. Is that all right? You ought to buy into truth because God's truth, yeah, is marching on. Is that all right? Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He's trapping out the vintage while the rapes of graft are stored. He's loosed the faithful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Is that all right? Glory! Hallelujah. His truth is marching on. Is that all right? And while you're buying, you ought to buy into goodness. Is that all right? You ought to taste and see that the Lord is good. Is that all right? You ought to buy into goodness because surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Is that all right? You ought to buy in goodness because the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures unto all generations. Is that all right? You ought to buy into grace because your grace and your mercy, it brought me through. I'm living in it this moment because of you. Is that all right? And I want to thank you and praise you too because your grace and your mercy, yeah, it brought me through. Can anybody buy into grace this morning? Is that all right? Somebody ought to abide in the righteousness. Because let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. Is that all right? Somebody abide here because blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. For they shall be filled. Is that all right? And somebody ought to buy into the New Testament church. The one you can read about in the Bible. Is that all right? It's called the old ship of Zion. It's called my soul's shaping ground. It's called my father's praying ground. Is that all right? It's called my mother's shouting ground. Is that all right? It's a church you can read about in the Holy Bible. And that's why you ought to buy in. And if you buy in, can you buy in? You ready to buy in? You ready to sign the contract for your salvation? Well, you ought to buy in this morning. We can never diminish the importance of Pentecost, because that's where it all began. If your church started later than Pentecost, started too late. If it started before Pentecost, started too early. But if it started on Pentecost, just right. Sort of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. Y'all know about them? She broke in and she said, when she got the porridge, Papa Bear porridge was too hot. Mama Bear porridge was too soupy. Cold? Okay. I see y'all read it. Yeah, but Baby Bear porridge was just right. Is that all right? And I'm telling you, the church is just right. Would you stand on your feet? That's the message. The church is just right. Amen. And so that's why you ought to come on, ride this train. Is there anyone here this morning want to sign up for the Christian Jubilee and understand what it means to be a child of God? Are you here this morning? Can you respond? I ask you to do so right now. Come along, my friend. Come along. You better get on board. Nothing on this train. Hey. Wait, God, you ought to wait, my friend. Oh, you better get a boat and ride. Nothing on
this train.
Hey. Well, you know that the gospel train is coming. Lord, it's coming. You know Jesus. Oh, but he
didn't.
Well, you better
get your house
in order. I know the Lord is coming. Well, I tell you that nothing
on this train to